G'day everyone, we are back for Giddy Up Podcast Episode 3. My name is Justin Tippett and again, unbelievably, I am joined by Don Elgin. Welcome, Don.
They said you'd never make it. Episode 3, mate, we've made it. That's a win.
Could be our last one if we don't pick up the standard a little bit. But look, thank you for all our listeners. We have had some wonderful feedback again throughout the week. Most of it, Don,
thanks,
you, I think you wrote and it was family. But
I did, yep, and I forced them to write it. Some actually don't know how to write, so, but no, they've been good. All my family know how to write. I'm just taking the piss.
We actually got some reviews, which was nice from people I didn't actually know. So.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks for that.
Yeah, appreciate it, whoever you are. Thank
you. And more, I want to actually, hats off, thanks for all the people that thought we were shit and didn't leave a review, because that'll just wreck our ratings.
That's also
so
true.
Appreciate that for not leaving a review if you thought we were shit.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Exactly right. Now, mate, you had a week to Sydney during the week. Now, it would have been a bit exciting just getting on a plane, all right?
It was exciting. And, you know, weirdly, my cousin Romper rang me yesterday and said, mate, they're selling airline food. I go, shit, I'm keen to travel. Okay. It's like buying hospital food. Seriously, I'm not that keen.
So they haven't used the extra time to improve the menu at all?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. It's okay. Just a leftover. So that's all the shit. So no one's flown for 3 months and they're just deciding to sell this food now. I'm tipping that shit's 3 months old. They're not going to start with yesterday's batch. Anyway, I did go to Sydney. Bloody loved it. I get to see Professor Leg, the guy who makes my legs. And mate, he's got this one. This is my test leg. I'm going to show you because I know we're videoing today. And
we are.
We've got this thing here. She's unfinished. Like, it's just a test leg. So it looks like I've got a socket that's been bandaged up. That's pretty much what it looks like. If you haven't seen me before and me just getting legless on the show, I did say to one of our listeners that I wouldn't be legless this show, but fucking just stuff that
episode
up.
Episode 3.
Hey. Yep. Anyway, this is it. So I have to yet design the cover and make sure that it feels good. So I've got 3 weeks walking around on a test socket, and Professor's got a lovely little assistant, and her name is – actually, her name's not important right now. What is important is that she has done a bloody good job on this leg. Actually, her name is important. It's Sarah, and she's awesome.
Well done, Sarah.
Yeah, hats off. I was a bit concerned that when Professor left me, I was going to be stuck with, you know, someone who didn't know my body, didn't know how to make a leg for me. But he's trained up the team beautifully at the APC Prosthetics, and I'm wrapped. So here I am, three days in.
For those of us that don't have a fake leg, how often do you need to get your leg replaced?
Yeah, that's a ripping question. Not too often. You know what the biggest challenge for me? My biggest challenge is maintaining my weight. Because if my weight changes, like the chicks talk about having a fat day, right? And as an amputee, I know 100% exactly what that's like. I wake up and if I've had my leg off for more than, say, 9 hours, my stump swells up a bit. Mm-hmm. And this leg is made to fit me perfectly. So, no, I can't just chop yours off. Go, here you go, JT, you have mine, right? Because it doesn't work like that. Every bump and groove is designed into this stump, into this socket.
Yep.
And so whenever I put weight on, that affects the comfortability of the leg. But also, too, it means that sometimes my leg won't fit. So I would start off in the morning really squeezing to get it in, and then I'm still talking about my leg, and then by the afternoon I'm sliding around in it. So it is something, but often we wear them out first. So I'm, what am I, mid-40s, and I've got about 60 legs over my time. Wow. Admittedly, a lot of those were for sport and the different, you know, events that I competed in. So we had a running leg, a shot put leg, that type of stuff. Yeah. So
you even mentioned, I think, in the earlier episode, you got a shower leg.
I've got a water leg, so I can walk down the beach. So I don't know. I mean, you go to the beach like you're buffed up and the chicks love seeing you down there, the male model, right? But when I go to the beach, it's a shitload of effort to hop on the sand. So, you know, you're running on sand, bit of buddy, the hoff, right?
Yep.
That looks cute, but hopping on the sand takes a lot of energy. And so for me, going to the beach wasn't something that I really thought, oh, let's do this. But now with the water leg, I cruise in there and sometimes I walk in, I take my leg off and I'll just yell out, shark, you know, and just wave bits around people. Like, what the? Yeah. Anyway, I've stopped doing that because police warned me to stop doing that. But yeah, water legs make it great. You know, I wake up in the morning, I put my leg on, I can stand up in the shower. And in all honesty, all shit aside, the dignity of being able to stand up and have a shower versus sitting down and having a shower, I feel like a human and I bloody love it. And the NDIS have been a massive catalyst for that. So hats off to them, because people that have grown up or been without a water leg for all this time because they couldn't afford it or just didn't have access have now predominantly got access to legs that they can use that make their life better.
Yeah. And if you're wearing a pair of jeans, for those of you that haven't met you, I mean, you wouldn't know from a bar of soap that you had a fake leg whatsoever. Have you got full functionality? I mean, I see you walk upstairs and do everything that anyone else would do. Is there anything where you sort of almost forget, for want of better wording, that you're missing a leg?
Yeah, well, it's nice that, like, you get me to walk upstairs every time I'm here and carry your shopping up. Like, that's it's the first time I get to stop, but I bloody love it. No, but most of the time, so my leg's amputated 6 inches below the knee, and so obviously I have full feeling down there. It's very sensitive. I love getting a massage on my little leg. It's just because it's literally from the time I wake up, I put it in a silicon sleeve. It doesn't see daylight again until the end of the day.
Yep.
And if it's hot, it sweats like a pig. And apart from taking off and wiping it down and putting it back on and going again, it's almost the forgotten part of me. So I've forgotten as well, because my parents raised me to say, mate, it's not there. Don't worry about it. Even if we know why it's not there, it's not growing back. Yeah. And it's not, so just get on with it. So, but in terms of feeling, most days, unless I'm having a bad leg day, so you said in jeans you wouldn't know, if my leg's sore and it's not fitting right and I've put on weight and I'm constantly trying to, or I've rubbed a bit of bark off because I've been running or something, then that caused me a bit of grief. And that's also, it's going to actually come up in our life hack, one of the tools I've created to make sure that that doesn't get the better of me any other day. So yeah, but most days I'm pretty happy camper and I don't really have too many problems. But that said, it's not the same for all amputees. So please don't go and just jump on the next amputee's back you see and go giddy up, because they're probably not going to see it the same way I do. I've got a tough stump and I'm pretty grateful for that.
Yep. And one thing, we've known each other for 20-odd years. One thing I've never asked you, and you just prompted me to do it then, I know you were born missing part of your leg, but you just mentioned it was amputated 6 inches below your knee.
Yeah.
Is it? I know you've had surgery a couple of times. Was it actually a bit longer and you had it shortened? Is that the ideal length or something, or is that just what you got?
No. So what happened for me is I had a foot that didn't form. So like it was like a blob on the bottom of my, what should have been my foot, but it didn't form. So the doctor said, well, that's just effectively going to get in the way. So let's amputate that. So they cut that off early. And then nobody tells your brain, oh, by the way, mate, you don't have a leg. So your brain just sends the nerve signals down, so hence you get phantom pains on the bottom of it. And for me, phantom pains are the equivalent of someone sticking a needle, it's a bit like torture, in the ends of your fingers, say. I get that in the bottom of my stump. I had it a lot as a kid growing up.
Yep.
And if I'm really stressed now, I tend to, that's when I'd get some phantom pains, but typically I don't get them. And throughout my life, what would happen is a tibia, which is the one of your shin bones, would grow faster and than the rest of the stump. And so I would have to have an operation where they would shave, they call it shaving the stump.
Yep.
And they would shave the bottom of my leg and they would cut it off, amputate it. And then when I was 14, my doctor, Professor Cole now, he went over to Germany, learnt this operation where they take some gristle from your hip, they transplant that to the bottom of your stump and it slows the growth of your bone so you don't have to have it shaved so often. Right. And I actually was the guinea pig for that operation in Australia, and now other amputees, fortunate, are able to benefit from that surgery, that technology, and they also not needing to have their leg shaved, you know, too often, or, you know, literally amputated.
So when's the last time you had to have that shaved?
Well, when I was 14.
Oh, that was
so
it.
That was it. Wow, yeah, so it worked. Yeah. They nailed it. So I was wrapped for that, because I have a phobia of needles. So it meant every time I had to have an operation, of course, you get your needles first. And it's like, you know what? This is fine, Mum. So what? There's a bit of bone hanging out the bottom. Do we? Yeah, split the end. Do we really need to cut it off? I like it. So, but I hated any time to have an operation, but I was wrapped for that one because it was a game changer.
Yeah, well, there you go. Some great insight, Don. Thanks for sharing. I know for a lot of people, you know, we're always fascinated about asking questions of people who are disabled, and often thinking, oh, shit, I better not ask that. You know, I'm either going to embarrass them, or it's embarrassing asking, or it's uncomfortable or awkward, or, you know, I might put you in a bad spot. And I know, as I said, knowing you for a long time, you've always been really open and happy to talk about it.
Yeah, well, I figure, mate, there's a couple of things that go with that. One is, you know, you often hear, you know, if you lose one of your senses, your other ones pick up. So if you're born without a bit, you make up with it somewhere else, hello. And for those of you who haven't seen me, I've got a big nose. So anyway, the really good part is that as a motivational speaker, as somebody who stands in front of people, literally as for my job, if I can't be comfortable with it and share with the little kids that come up and double take on the street and talk to them about the fact that, you know, this is my leg, and then what hope have I got of having any positive impact on their life, on their parents' lives, who are yanking their arms going, don't stare, don't look, don't ask that question. Mate, I stop and I say, mate, do you like my leg? And we have a chat about it. So I'm very open, but I also appreciate not everybody is at that point in their journey. And sure. I was very fortunate to get to that point really early on in my life.
Awesome. It's a great segue into our first segment. What got your attention this week? Yeah, the budget's still a bit lean. We haven't updated that promo at all yet.
If we actually get a shitload of money, do you reckon we will update that or just keep it?
Put a lot of work into that.
I reckon we keep it. All right, there you go.
Now, so obviously we've started off a note, which wasn't planned, by the way, and a lot of people have asked, when I say a lot of people, I mean three, have asked how do we put the show together? And look, to be honest, we wing it largely. We listen, obviously, what's going on.
We've got our segments and the ripper stingers that you've created.
That's exactly right. So they're sort of in the can, and we normally get together a couple of hours before each episode and sort of do a bit of a run sheet. For those of you who are watching on home, you'll see our little run sheets in front of us, which gives us a rough guide what to talk to. But pretty much everything else, we kind of wing it as we go along.
It's loose.
We preload the clips that we want to play, and I'm running on the desk right now.
And so far you haven't stuffed anything up today. Yet, I'm loving this, mate.
So far two presses in and I'm going good,
boom,
right?
Look at you go.
We've obviously started off going down the disabled route. I'm going to be polite. The disabled route early on. So we're going to carry on in that, because what got my attention this week was a couple of days ago, and I'm just going to play you a short clip, Donnie, just to give you a bit of a reminder.
I was angry yesterday, but now I'm just really sad, man, because, you know, you've known me for years and you know how hard I train, and I just want to represent myself and my country and do the very best that I can. And to not be given that opportunity, or not given the choice to be able to go, or not being consulted on whether we want to go purely because we have a disability. That decision was made for us purely because we have a disability, and they still haven't told us a reason why, and they don't plan to. So, yeah, it really upsets me to not be a part of the decision-making process and to not, you know, be able to win another Grand Slam for my country.
And that was Dylan Alcott. For those of you who don't know Dylan, he's obviously a champion of Australian sport. He's won 10 singles tennis and quad tennis and 6 in the doubles. He was actually in basketball before then. Now, the backdrop to that story, I probably should have said it before I played the clip, to be honest, was the US Open just came out this week, Donnie, and said, look, we're going to run with the US Open, but we're actually going to drop a few events. We're not going to run with the wheelchair tennis, but we're also dropping the qualifying, the juniors and the mixed doubles. And Dylan came out swinging. This is a tweet that came out afterwards. Just got announced that the US Open will go ahead without wheelchair tennis. Players weren't consulted. I thought I did enough to qualify. 2 times champion, number one in the world. But unfortunately, I missed the only thing that mattered, being able to walk. Disgusting discrimination. Don, you're been a world champion athlete. You've competed in Commonwealth Games, you know, world championships, etc. What's your take?
Discrimination, my ass. At some point, and now I know Dylan. I've got a relationship with Dylan. We've competed over the years. So obviously he's a wheelchair amputee, different sports, that type of stuff. However, what I can tell you is that when I see that, and I am... It's funny because I've grown up saying, no, I'm not disabled. I can do what anybody else can do. And so I have an involvement in different organisations to help people with disabilities, right? So I'll put that on the table straight away. But I also have a big belief that we can excuse, and society has for years excused people's manners or behaviour because they've got a disability. So they've said, oh, okay, that person's a dickhead, but yeah, he's got a disability, so we'll forgive him. I just go, no, that's bullshit. Actually, if you're a dickhead, you're a dickhead. And for me, I just go, hang on, Dylan, pull your head out of your butt and have a look around, mate. The world has come to a grinding halt for COVID, and you're having a whinge because, and playing the bloody disabled card because your event's been scrapped from the US Open. Well, just for the record, mate, the Olympics have been pushed back a year. The Paralympics have been pushed back a year. There is AFL is on its ear, playing literally week by week, trying to work it out. people have gone without income. So to play the disabled card on that, the discrimination one, I just call bullshit and I go, mate, I reckon you're out of line and you probably need to take a breather and just realise that it's got nothing to do with your bloody disability. This is a occupational health and safety thing that every organisation on the planet needs to be considering. And if they're not considering it, then seriously, you've got to ask, why on earth would you want to go to the US Open in the first place if they haven't taken that consideration in mind? So me, I'm not a fan.
All right. Now, he went further. That was his tweet. It obviously got a fair bit of media attention. He was then on Channel 9 on The Project, etc. That clip we played earlier was on Channel 9. But he added to that, and to your point, he said he did acknowledge that obviously there's a lot of stuff going on in the world at the moment with COVID and Black Lives Matters and all that sort of stuff.
Sure.
So he did sort of try and put it in some context around it. But in terms of the sick stuff, he tweeted further. He said, please don't tell me I'm a greater risk because I'm disabled. I'm disabled, yes, but that doesn't make me sick. I'm fitter and healthier than nearly everybody reading this right now. There are no added risks.
Okay, so what happens with the organisers that put the event on and people contract? And so actually, since that tweet, whenever that was, there's been a couple of the APTT bloody tennis guys have come out and tested positive to COVID. So regardless whether you got a disability, and I'm hats off to Dylan for being strong and being an advocate for disabled people. Like, that's not something I am. I figure stuff it. I don't give a shit if you've got a disability, if you're black, white or blue. I'm an advocate for people enjoying life and getting the most out of it. So I don't fly that flag, but I also, if I thought that the disability card was the flag, the card to be played right now, I'd be going, good on you, mate. Glad you got a voice and a platform to use it. But right now, I think in the light of day, it's a bit, my view is that I reckon he's a bit caught up in his own importance and he's too quick to play that card. And the problem with that is the next time, it's a bit like the boy who cried wolf. The next time we want to go to somebody and there's a genuine issue, are we going to go, oh yeah, he rolls that out all the time. Do we really give a shit? Are we going to pay him the right amount of attention? So my gut feel is wrong card, wrong time.
Mm. I mean, look, when I watched it, I saw the clip on The Project and I couldn't get a copy of it at all, which is weird.
It's unlike you because you are the IT bloody guru with shit.
I seem
like
to find these things, gadget, but I literally couldn't get a clip of it. But look, he was very emotional and clearly very distressed by it and just felt it was a real setback, I guess, for the movement, for want of better wording, because, you know, he was just like, you've taken that right away from me to decide. I think he was more angry about just not being consulted.
JT, tell me why would he be any less emotional than a mum and dad who have just invested their entire life savings into a business and then the government says, shut your doors, COVID's here?
Look, I think it's different, Don. I think, I said, he acknowledged the fact that COVID's going on. So yep. I'm sort of distancing them. I think he was just pissed off that the men's and women's competition is going ahead. So the organisers are prepared to take the risk on that.
Yep.
But they've said, you know what, screw the wheelchair. Maybe because no one gives a shit, because there's not enough interest, there's not enough money. There's a whole bunch of reasons that you could add into the argument.
Yep.
He was just pissed off, I think, that, you know, the fact that they've said wheelchair tennis is not important. The other ones are important. Ours isn't. He just felt that was, I think, the kick in the guts for him.
And I reckon he's got a really good platform. If they didn't say mixed doubles and juniors also, as soon as they come out with, mate, you're in a group of people that are going to miss out, tough titties, then suck that up. And it's a bit AFL, mate. They scrapped there's no bloody AFL women's grand final team, just scrapped.
Yep.
So every woman's got a right to go that plays that game. Hey, what about us? So Dylan's just saying, hey, what about us? But I just think that people aren't going to listen because it's not discrimination. It's a collective call and somebody has to make it. And they made it.
Flog?
Yep. Oof. Move on.
Jesus. All right. On to our next topic, Don. I enjoy the discussion. Obviously, I'm getting a bit sick of talking about COVID, to be honest, but it's in the news and we said we talk about what's current and topical. Now, for those of you that don't know, we are in, both of us, Don and myself, live in Melbourne. So Victoria's obviously taken a couple of steps backwards.
I actually live in New South Wales, but I got handcuffed here by JT 3 weeks ago when I turned up for the show.
You're stuck here now. Literally, the borders are closed. You're stuck. Anyway, what they've done is they've actually set up some testing centres now, and there's a few hotspots around Melbourne in various locations. And so Chadstone Shopping Centre, largest shopping centre in the Southern Hemisphere, is not too far from where we live, and they've set up a testing station there. They've closed off one of the car parks, and they've got people coming in, Donnie, to come in and do the testing. But there was a report on the news last night saying that
have you got it?
Well, I couldn't get a clip again, and I know there's a pattern emerging here.
I know, right? Hey, Oscar, we've got the cat here, mate. We'll just get Oscar's him on the clipboard, on the panel.
In the background. But what came out, mate, was people were going and getting their testing, you know, which is great, good. You know, on the front foot. That's I really like that. But according to the retail union, they were then just parking the car and going shopping, Don.
You know when we'll stop talking about COVID, JT? Is when fuckheads stop going to get a test and then go shopping. Seriously, you knobhead. If you've got some sort of reservation that you need to get tested, well, I don't even know if I need to complete that. Are people that stupid?
Well, I assume the fact that they've gone to get tested means they're concerned that they may have coronavirus, right?
Yeah, so let's go for a wander around the shops and just bloody talk to everyone. Can everybody that works at the shops please get tested tomorrow? Because unfortunately, you've been exposed to dickheads.
If only they had a vaccine for dickheads, Don.
It is. It's illegal to use, called Bullet.
you're in the age of rage right now. For a guy who's one of the happiest guys I know, this is good, man. We're seeing another side to you. We'll talk about that a bit later, actually, because you've got a great tip on how to keep happy. But this one will get you. Now, again, I've failed in getting a clip for this again, not through lack of trying, but this is breaking news, and that's why this is literally hot off the press today when we're recording, which is Tuesday. Don, one of my favourite lollies, and this is without a word of a lie, Redskins. Mate, I bloody love them. I really do. I've always loved them. And
this on the way over, mate. This
love them. Now, Nestle, which own Allen's lollies, which make Redskins, have come out today. And this is literally the press release. Nestle have said that they're going to rename Redskins and Chicos. Now, this is it. This is genuinely the press release. Nestle said the decision acknowledges the need to ensure that nothing we do marginalizes our friends, neighbors, and colleagues. These names have overtones which are out of step with Nestle's values, which are rooted in respect. The company has said it's yet to decide on the new names, but we will move quickly to make the change. Don, what's going on?
You know what? Here, dude, you want to move quickly? Hop back in the car, go home and start your day again, you spineless fucks. No one is giving a shit about a lolly called Redskin, mate. They're not going and going, oh, let's go to the shop and buy a Redskin. Now we've got the license to be bloody racist. What a load of shit, mate. When are businesses going to grow a backbone and say, hang on a minute, mate, there's no intent here. We come from a good place. We've had this 100 bloody years or however long we've had this name for, and it's never caused a skerrick of concern up until now. Someone shits themselves and says, oh, we've got no backbone, so let's change the name to bloody please everyone. What a load of shit.
Well, I mean, according to, again, the press release, a Redskin is a slang term for Native Americans that is widely considered to be offensive, and Chico is the Spanish translation for boy. And that can be offensive to people of Latin American descent.
Or the fuckers that don't know what sex they are, like they identify as what something in between. I tell you what, that changed, didn't it, when they said we're going to hand out payments for men and women. All of a sudden these bloody undecided say, well, I'm one of them now. And like, we're just changing with the wind. This is bloody ridiculous. So what, we're going to scrap bloody Mexicana pizzas?
Possibly. Well, Eskimo Pies have also, the owners of Eskimo Pies have said they're going to change their name as well.
Shoot me, JT. This is just, can someone just say, righto, joke's over now. Okay, Trumpy's still there, so it's not quite over. But this is bloody ridiculous, mate. Someone's got fair dinkum. Just come from a good place, be a decent human, and don't try and bloody please everyone every day of the week, because it's not going to happen.
I saw something going around on Instagram and I really like this, Don. It says, history is not there for you to like or dislike. It is there for you to learn from. Yep. And if it offends you, even better, because then you are less likely to repeat it. It's not yours to erase or destroy it. It belongs to all of us.
Whoever wrote that, they're bloody on track for being a hero or out of heroes and zeros later on, because that shit is just, it's just real. And unfortunately, we've got this great, bloody great amount of oxygen that's been given to the whinge fest, the cancel bloody brigade, that just everyone is offended by everything now. Just wake up, kids. It's going to be okay. The beauty, if in doubt, just check out the window tomorrow and see if the sun comes up. Oh, shit, you're not. It's coming up, mate. We don't have to be offended. And the other thing I've got, JT, is who gives a shit if someone is offended? Like, what happens if you're offended? Like, do your fucking arms and legs fall off? Does your head fall off? No, you just have a moment where you go, oh, that's a bit uncomfortable. Your heart might beat a couple of times a bit quicker because you go, oh, but offense is, it's personal. History is there and it's not for us to decide today, because if we start modifying everything into this perfect world, I think Hitler had a crack at that shit, didn't he? He thought he'd make the perfect race and he'd just wipe out the Jews. Like that, seriously, that is an absolute bloody disgrace. We've acknowledged that that is a shit human being there. But what are we doing by giving oxygen and changing everything and trying to make everything vanilla in the world? It's bloody not. Deal with it, move on. Who are that? Bloody Allen's.
Allen's, Nestle.
I fucking love Lollies too, so I'm going to find it really hard next time I go, what about Golden Ruffs? It's chocolate and white. And, oh, fuck, if they ban them, I'm going to be really pissed because I love them.
What about Buffalo Bill's? One of my favourite ice creams growing up.
Oh, choc dip. Oh, can't have that.
You can just see. I mean, seriously, I agree with you. I mean, I think companies just need to get some balls and go get them.
Come on.
If there's any other brands out there that you can think of that should change or could change, send them in. We'll all have a laugh or otherwise, Adam. So just remember on our, what is it, Facebook group?
Yeah, yeah,
Facebook. Giddy Up Podcast. That's just drop us a note on there. We'll all have a laugh. Now,
but I want to move on because he's going to
do it. I need a laugh.
I need to relax, mate.
I do. You're very tense. You're very wound up. So it's on me, mate, to give you a bit of a laugh. Driving. Oh, this is my favourite segment, Donnie, Media Watch. It's where we find some good clips that are going around on the internet. Now, again, when we do a bit of preparation for this show, deliberately we don't actually reveal some of these things you get a genuine reaction.
I am looking forward to this.
Good or bad.
It keeps me in the dark. I'm like a mushroomy.
I've had a fair crack. Well, not a fair crack. The project is the gift that keeps on giving. Yes. And we've had a couple of nice clips.
Are they back again?
Them. No. Oh, okay. So this time I thought I better go something different. So this time I've gone to the Sunrise team, Donnie.
Right.
The Sunrise team, of course, do a great job in the mornings. And, one of the segments that they've got is they like to give away some cash from time to time.
Mm.
Now, when they give away some cash, Don, it's normally a live call.
Right.
Now, I don't know, but live TV and the general public, it's ripe for a disaster, isn't it?
Heads up, JT. I don't watch a lot of TV, so I have got bloody no idea what you're about to play.
Here we go.
That is the second one counting down. We are ringing Jai Grundy.
Hello.
Is that Jai?
Jay.
Jay Grumley. This is Melon Koshy from Sunrise. Would you like $10,000 on this Thursday morning?
Are you fucking serious?
Look, I'm not the words that we would use, but we are very serious.
What do you reckon, Donnie?
Oh, I love it. That's gold. Oh, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised. Who was that, Jay?
Jay or Jai? Yeah,
it could be two. Jessica Elgin. She talks like that. That is gold, mate. I love it. Well played. Very good.
Thought you liked that one.
And they didn't get to bump either. They didn't get to. Because when I say something, you normally go.
Well,
if I try and say fuck, you'll go. If I say.
I'm onto it, mate. Straight into the beat for you.
You've been working at Sunrise.
I should have one finger on that button with you the whole time. You've already dropped a few this episode already. So it has been noted.
Right.
Now, of course. That one was done ages ago.
That was good.
I just thought it was
funny.
Right? So I've got another one for you, because at the moment there's a bit of a debate going on in the AFL around changing the ball, Don. Now, the ball's been around forever and a day. But there's obviously the skills are a bit down. There's obviously training, COVID restrictions, all that sort of stuff.
People haven't been doing a kicking.
They've lost their touch a little bit. And what do we love in the game? The big grabs and all that sort of
speckies,
stuff. We've been up playing games up in the Gold Coast. It's a bit slippery up there. We've had some games down at Geelong. It's bloody dewy down there as well. So there's been people saying that maybe we need to go a bit more like the rugby balls, where it's got, you know, those little sort of dimple, you know, little things on them. Now,
what do you got?
Well, There's been some views on what we should do around there, and apparently this has been a problem for a while, Donnie.
Change the outer layer of the Sharon?
No. Yeah. Eddie's got a button in his lip. He's trying to change the rules all the time. He wants to change the ball now. It's a winter sport. It was dewy last week. Sometimes you just got to play with slippery balls. It's a winter sport.
Traditionalist to the heart.
Was that cruel?
Mate, we've all done it before, haven't we, Carl? Like sometimes.
What are you bringing me up for? I've got a 6-week old.
Yeah. Oh, that's gold.
Yeah, so Shane Crawford's just happy to share his views on we should just be used to playing with slippery balls, Tom. Yeah,
good Finley boy. That's I like that. Well played, Crawford.
Happy with that? Yep. Fantastic. All right, so hopefully you got you a little bit of a laugh there, and we're going to go into our next segment, which for the life of me, I can't
find. Here we go.
This could be the first stuff up. No, I'm on it. I'm on it. All right, so this is our life hack of the week. Now, Don, I've got to say, for anyone who's ever met you, seen you present, you often lead with it at your talks that you are the happiest guy that you know. Yep. And it's true. You generally always have a smile on your dial. You're always a pretty positive outlook on life. And look, I've always wondered if there's a secret to that. Now, admittedly, I did think you've been taking copious amounts of drugs. It was my first thought.
Never
that
taken
I had
a single drug in my life.
But I know you hate needles. That's true. I know you hate needles, so I figured that wasn't out. But what we thought we would do is share one of your tips with our audience today on what helps you put a smile on your dial.
Well, mate, I know that there is no fairy godmother cruising around behind me who's going to sprinkle fairy dust and go, Don, your life is now awesome. So I know if it's going to be awesome, it's up to me. And I got told years ago the cheapest and easiest way to improve your looks, if you're not a male model like JT, the cheapest and easiest way to do it is to smile. And for those who haven't seen me with a head like I've got, that's bloody good advice. So I decided I was going to smile every day. I thought, how do I do it? Because I figured I liked a free facelift bit, like that works for me. And I always liked it when I seen other people smiling. But you remember, JT, when you started, actually at the start of the episode today, we said that sometimes I have a bad leg day or a sore. Well, I refuse to have a bad day, right? I figure stuff, it could be the last one. I want to at least go down waving and smiling. So I figure, how do I smile every day? And this is what I do. I decided that every single time, bar none, when I look at my watch, I'm going to smile. And so it doesn't matter what's happening, if I'm running late, if I'm ahead of time, behind time, my cue when I look at my watch is to smile. And when I do that, it's amazing that I actually forget about the pain that I'm in, if I'm in a bit of pain, and it creates a new mindset simply by having a smile. And I tell you what, if you want to call bullshit on this, try telling your kids off when they make you laugh. And you'll start smiling. It's bloody hard to be angry when you're laughing. And so I figure, well, if I'm smiling, it's going to be a lot harder to be angry. So I smile every day, and the way I do that is by looking at my watch. So my life hack this week is to put a smile on your dial and to take a shortcut. Don't think of anything new if you don't want to. Use my cue. Look at your watch and smile.
Yeah! Love it, Donnie. Look at your watch and smile. And it's true. Like when if someone smiles at you, you smile back, don't you? Like, it's very rare that if you actually make an effort and smile at someone that you don't get that back.
Smiles are contagious.
And then you're all feeling pretty good.
Yep.
Love it. Now, we also got some good feedback last week, Tony, on the Apple
Space Bar.
Yeah, Space Bar, right?
For those of you that haven't heard our last week episode, it was...
Go back and listen to the episode.
Yeah, get lazy, stuffed. We're not going to give you this week's last week's hack this week.
No, seriously, go and listen to it. Yeah. But what I thought we could do is actually add in a couple of others, Don, because they're
you're
nice
a mean
quick.
Prick, hey? I would have told people. Listen.
Do you want to tell them, Don?
No. Stuff them. Go and listen.
There we go.
You're bigger than me.
You'd come on board eventually. So now, look, Don, obviously, you know, you literally have been at the elite status in terms of sport. I've seen a couple of photos where you're looking nice and ripped and clearly competed for a long period of time. But
I don't know if you can see that. Singlet.
In the background, we do have a top there that Donny gave to me a long time ago from the Sydney 2000 Olympics.
JT was once upon a time very nice to me and I loved his support. So I signed up one of my Paralympic Games singlets and I gave it to him. And it still to this day hangs in the office. So
it does.
That's a beautiful thing. But, mate, I'm not the only one who's been ripped out of the two of us and in ripping shape. Now, you're a couple of years older than me and in as good a form as I've seen you. I know you're not on the gear, and I know you work your ass off, but how do you do it?
I mean, to me, in all honesty, I mean, COVID's actually been pretty good for me. I mean, I did go to the gym every day, and I enjoy it. It's like my mental break. I work from home mostly. So for me, getting out of the house for an hour a day was fantastic to go to gym just to see different people. I didn't necessarily talk
so
to people.
So you use the gym as opposed to going shopping, getting tested, and then doing some shopping.
That's exactly right.
Yep, there you go.
But obviously, gym's been closed. I've been lucky. I've sort of had a really good home gym for a long time, hardly ever used it, but it really came in handy at this COVID time. So I've actually been working out a fair bit. But I came across a really good hack only a few months ago. So
what is it?
Well, if you're trying to drop a few kilos, which most of us are, let's be honest, especially as we get a bit older.
Yep.
One of the things I have a lot in my meals is rice.
Right.
Now, I got onto the little hack of trying to get off the white rice because it's not that great for you. Mm-hmm. And I've replaced that with basmati rice. And there's certainly more fiber in basmati rice and some lower calories. So you're already on a winner if you're with basmati rice.
Apologies to all the white grain bloody growers out there, rice growers. That's you're exactly about to go right. broke.
Apologies, guys. But recently, one of the brands has actually come in with what's called veggie rice.
What?
It's veggie rice and it's frozen.
We're not talking in the disabled. Frozen.
No, not vegetables as in, disabled people, actual vegetables.
Really?
And you can get two varieties. You can either get, and people have been doing this for years anyway, it's either cauliflower and they used to mash it up and use it as rice.
Boof makes that. Yeah, right.
And so you can now buy it frozen. You can actually get cauliflower frozen or you can get a mix, which is cauliflower and broccoli frozen.
Oh, there you go. And all the people don't like the veggies. You just pretend you're having rice.
That's exactly right. So, you know, when you're mixing it with your stir fry or whatever it is that you would normally have your rice with, the reason why it's so good is, one, it's vegetables, right? It's literally just crushed vegetables, so as opposed to rice. But in terms of just calories, so one cup of white rice is 242 calories, which is actually a fair whack when most people on a diet would have 300 calories in a meal.
Whoa.
242 just in white rice. But when you swap that to veggie rice, the same cup is only 40 calories.
Shit, that's all right.
So 240 calories down to 40.
So you can still have a steak and some eggs and some chips.
Knock yourself out. So it's a really simple thing. And the other thing I liked on is, unless you've got a rice cooker at home and it takes, 20 minutes to get the thing
to fire up. It's illegal to have them now. Like, you can't sorry.
you've got to move on from that. The beauty with the veggie rice, literally it's about 2 minutes in the microwave and you're done. So you just, man, it's a great time-saving hack, but it's also a little healthy tack. Tack, I said, didn't I?
Yeah.
A hack. Oh, that's hack is the word. I'm a hack.
Righto, life hack for you is go to veggie rice.
Get on your veggie rice.
And you can make it at home. I've got another one for you, and that is this bad boy here. It is curcumin. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation of this word.
I'm running with it.
It's C-U-R-C-U-M-I-N 600. Now, I'm not a drug dealer. I don't like drugs. As a matter of fact, I'm not a fan at all. However, this shit is as good a stuff as I've ever taken. It's a supplement. I got it at any pharmacy, like bloody the big yellow one. What's that?
Chemist Warehouse.
We're not sponsored by anyone, so we can say whatever we like if we bloody remember. But Chemist Warehouse is about.
But if Chemist Warehouse do want to come on board, we're happy to
hit you up. Yes, absolutely. Oh, speaking of getting on board, I've got to talk to you, JT, about can we take the show remote? Or can we move it and do it somewhere else?
Sure, we can.
Because I was talking to Michelle, right, down at the float where I go for a float, right, the water temple.
Can you just explain what a float is, Don? Sorry, because most of the stuff you explain to me is normally rude and stuff that I've never heard of.
No, this is not rude. You do it naked, so it's bloody fun to start with.
Here we go.
Right?
Here it goes. this is how all the stories go, Don.
Float naked if you're not, you're missing out. No, so what happens is you go into this little room and there's like a little cocoon there. Right,
and it's pods. I've done this before, pods. Right?
Yeah, and it's bloody awesome. And you can't sink. And I grew up. My parents ran a public swimming pool, and I really struggled to float. Like I just couldn't float. I would lie there and blah 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 blah, blah. And I didn't like it. I went to this and to have a float, and you can't sink. So there's all this salt and stuff in the water, and it's bloody amazing. It is the most therapeutic thing. I bloody love it. And I swear to God, if we can go remote, we're going to do a show at the water temple. I don't know if we can. We'll have to. Mate,
I did that years and years ago.
What do you reckon?
Mate, I didn't like it. I've got to be honest. I mean, a lot of people that are claustrophobic, it closes you in, you're in a pod.
Yeah, but things have evolved since. The pod's big, mate. You can leave the light on,
the
music.
I was bored out of my brain. I was lying there going, shit, is it time to open this thing up yet?
Couldn't
switch off. Is that the problem?
Well, see, that's it. So how many times did you do it?
Once.
See, there you go, mate. It's like waxing agates. You got to keep going so it gets better and better each time. And if you just do one thing once, then do you actually ever get good at it? So my advice, mate, is continue. I'm going to talk to Michelle. We're doing this. I swear I'm going to get you to love floats if it's the last thing I do. But curcumin, this shit here, it's the best arthritic cure I've ever seen in my life. I got on it for about a week. And I kid you not, I was going at the start of last year talking to doctors saying, can we please do some surgery? I'm sitting here, I'm in pain, and I can't get rid of this pain in my knee. And the doc scans all sorts of shit. I said, mate, you got a fair bit of arthritis in there. Unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do. You can maybe have a bit of fish oil and that. Did stuff all for me, got onto that, bang, gone. So much so that I'm talking about doing Kokoda again. And I've done it number twice. Three, yeah. And I, hey, mate, might be something in that. Might be something in that. Get onto this shit. Best life hack ever. Right up.
Love it. All right. Now, the last hack is a very quick one. This is, again, I had no idea about this because I've got to get out more often. I don't drink a lot of wine, to be fair, but I know a lot of people like to, especially in summer, like to add the ice cubes to the wine.
Yeah.
It just keeps it nice and cold. But, of course, it waters down your wine and that kind of sucks.
If you let it melt, who's holding on to that? Well,
that's also true. If you drink it quickly, that would be a problem.
Come around and watch it.
But obviously, on top of that, a lot of wine's used in cooking. If you're making some sauces and stuff, you put in wine. But, of course, you know, well, I don't know about you, but I don't normally have half a bottle of wine lying around and I don't normally crack one open to cook a meal.
Might as well finish it since it's
So one of the hacks is, which is sent in by one of our listeners, was wine ice cubes.
Does it freeze because it's alcohol?
Freezes because it's, it's not the huge, what do you call it? I don't know, whatever the percentages is, but it freezes. And so that way you can use it for your cooking or you can drop it in your wine.
I love this shit, JT. I'm doing it. I'm going to have a crack tonight. I'm going to go home. I'm going to freeze up some ice cubes. Do I take it out of the bottle or just stick the bottle straight in the freezer? Pour it into the tray.
That's the idea.
Right. Geez, all this fancy stuff. One more quick one before we go. I sent my beautiful first wife down to Bunnings.
Boof.
And I said, mate, can you go and get me this? And she goes, where is it? And I got my Bunnings Finder app. I don't know if I didn't realise that people don't know there's a Bunnings Finder app.
I mean, I literally feel like I live at Bunnings and I don't know there's a Bunnings Finder app.
There's a Bunnings Finder app. You literally just get the app. You put in whatever you want and it tells you what shelf, what price, everything. And you just saves. Like, I have bought so much less shit because I've had the app. Because I walk in, I know where I'm going. Instead of walking every aisle and buying a little bit of this for one day, I might need it. So the Bunnings Finder app is gold. That's another life hack. Right, I move on. Too many life hacks.
Good tip. Love it. All right, our next segment is, what is our next segment, Tony?
You'll need the button. So just when you find it, you push it and then that'll tell me what it is.
Dad joke of the week. Sonny, this is it. This is the one I know you've been waiting. This is the crowd favourite. I might do a poll on our Facebook group to find out if it actually is everyone's favourites. But we've had a lot of good feedback from the dad jokes. And, well, here we go. I've trailed the internet again, Don. I've come up with a couple of rippers for you this time.
What do you got?
All right, first one. Here we go. This is good. I went to the pub last night and I saw a fat chick dancing on the table. I don't know. And I said, oh, nice legs. The girl giggled, said with a smile, do you really think so? And I said, yeah, definitely. Most tables would have collapsed by now.
Oh, yep, we'll go there.
How'd it go, Donny?
Yeah, love it. Like it? The fat chicks ain't going to like it, but I like it. That's good.
That's a sort of classic dad joke, that one, I thought. So we had to go with that. All right, now, this is my serious joke, Don. Right. I've got to have the serious one.
We've got some music or something?
Yeah, sure. We'll put a background on. Go on the sad music again, mate. All right, there was an old man who lived by a forest, and as he grew older and older, he started losing his hair until one day, on his deathbed, he was completely bald. And that day, he called his children to a meeting. And he said to his children, look at my hair. It used to be so magnificent, but it's completely gone now. My hair, it can't be saved. But look outside at the forest. It's such a lovely forest with so many trees. But sooner or later, they'll all be cut down and this forest will look as bald as my hair. What I want you to do, the man continued, is every time a tree is cut down or dies, plant a new one in my memory. Tell your descendants to do the same. It shall be our family's duty to keep this forest strong. And Donnie, so they did. Each time the forest lost a tree, the children replanted one, and so did their children after them. And for centuries, the forest remained as lush and as pretty as it once was, all because of one man and his receding hairline.
Fuck, that had a big build up.
Come on, Donny. Come on.
Mate, I'll get it. I'll rate that. That's good. Seriously, that's bloody fantastic. I'm glad you put some backing music to it. It's good. Like, Dad, I think it's sneaking out out of dad jokes. Like your jokes are next level. Like they're at a higher grade. Like me during COVID, mate, I've been struggling a bit. I picked up a job as a waiter. I mean, the pay's not good, but it puts food on the table. Like that's a dad joke. But yours, they're next level.
Do you want another one, Zane? I got one more. Right, I'll save for next week, but hey, we're on a roll. I don't have a backing track for this one, but anyway. Two men are walking their dogs, and it's a Doberman and a Chihuahua. When they see a restaurant, and thankfully restaurants are starting to open up now, Donnie, so this is a good thing. Now, they're pretty hungry, so they decide to head in for a bite to eat. But unfortunately, they see a sign out the front of the restaurant that says no dogs allowed. So the man with the Doberman, he's pretty switched on. He goes, mate, I know what to do. Just follow my lead. And he throws on a pair of sunglasses and he walks in. The waiter tells him, look, I'm sorry, sir. We don't allow dogs in here. And the man says, oh, no, you don't understand. I'm blind and this is my guide dog.
Huh, good.
Yeah. And the waiter sort of says, a Doberman for a guide dog? A little bit skeptical about that one. He goes, no, yes, the man replies. Dobermans are very loyal. They're easy to train and protective too. They're born for the job.
Mm.
And the waiter sighs and goes, okay, and, leads the man to the table. So the second man's casino list gone down. He's pretty excited. So he throws on his sunglasses and walks in. And the waiter tells him, I'm sorry, sir. We don't allow dogs in here. And the man says, oh, but you don't understand. I'm blind. And this is my guide dog. The waiter sort of looks at him, looks at the dog and says, a Chihuahua for a guide dog? And the man just goes, a Chihuahua? They gave me a bloody Chihuahua. He was blind. He didn't know what he's doing.
Oh, two old ladies on a park bench. Guy walks up and flashes them. One lady had a stroke. The other lady couldn't reach it far. Anyway, let's move on.
Mate, we are terrible. All right, we've got to move on from here, Donnie. Now, what have we got? We're going into our heroes and zeros stinger. Of the week. You so, love it. Of course, got a stinger. So each week we looked for people that have contributed to society in a positive way and, well, who's let the team down? Now, Donnie, we're going to go with our zeros first, mate. Who have you got in the crosshairs?
Righto. Now, this I watch this and I don't watch a lot of media. What was interesting that this didn't get much of a run, but it was a 16-year-old girl on a bench at Southern Cross Station.
I haven't seen the footage.
I tell you what, JT, do yourself a favour. Don't watch it. It's fucking horrible. And she's literally beaten the shit out of by a group of, it doesn't matter black, white or bloody blue, but a gang of chicks beat her up. Right?
Any reason, provocation?
It wasn't obvious. What was clearly obvious is this sole girl was outnumbered and had the shit kicked out of her. It was on the news and the mum and then the police said, we can't lay any charges because there hasn't been a formal complaint. Of course, the 16-year-old girl had genuine fear about complaining, so she didn't put the complaint in.
Yep.
But my zero goes to every person within earshot. And because this was all Snapchatted and bloody recorded, this gang filmed it all.
Yep.
My zero goes to every person at Southern Cross Station that day who didn't intervene. Society, we need to not go, oh, I don't want to get involved because I'll get sued or be racist or some shit. If something's not right, call it out. And I'll tell you what, I was disgusted watching it. But I said to my seven-year-old son, mate, if you ever see a girl being beat up, if you ever see anything that's not right, I'll be prouder for you to be belted trying than to walk away and not help. So my zero goes to all the people that chose to look away. That's fucking pathetic, and our society deserves better.
Agree. Absolutely putrid, and that would make me sick just seeing that and imagining that was my daughter or someone that I knew.
We both have daughters, and, mate, the same thing. I have a zero tolerance for two things that are absolutely not negotiable in my life, JT, and that is abuse to women and abuse to children. Everything else, I'm actually willing to change my mind on it. You know, jokes and racism and all that shit. You know what? I'm open to grow. But those two are non-negotiable. So to see that and to see it just played out in such a public place in the middle of the day, this is not at night where it's hidden. There was people that saw this and did nothing. So anyway, let's move on. That's
fair enough, mate. Fair enough. Horrible. Now, of course, with every downside, there's an upside, mate. And we've got an absolute hero for you this week.
Too right, we have.
Here's a bit of the backstory.
A tradie who smashed into a burning home at Plenty to save his disabled neighbour is being hailed a hero. Dean Tustin carried the man to safety before returning to save his father. Mark Santomartino met them.
Dean Tustin, what a bloody legend.
Legend. He's absolutely our hero this week, JT. And I'll tell you what, it's actually an awesome thing because I watched that clip and I can tell you what, he's not the only hero in this. Like, he's our hero.
There's a little bit of came in the story, wasn't there?
Bloody oath there was.
Well, firstly, there was the dog.
Well, the dog for alerting the tradie in the first place, for alerting Dino that there was issues next door. And he obviously knew the family, but he wasn't the only one that knew the family.
That's exactly right.
The CFA knows the family, and they know that the guy that got rescued, the guy with the disability, and I forget his name because he wasn't our hero. I didn't hold on to his name, but I got Dino here as the hero. Yep. But this guy's got cerebral palsy. Now, cerebral palsy he's at the extreme end of it. So he really struggles to get around. He struggles to be able to speak. He's in a wheelchair, but he still has a quality of life. And part of that quality of life is that he has different age to help him. So there was quite a bit of equipment in the house, and the CFA are well aware of this equipment, well aware of this fellow. As a matter of fact,
Michael Kefalukas.
Thank you, JT. I would have fucked Michael's last name up for sure. I
probably did as well.
Yeah, but anyway, it's Mick. And so Mick owes a lot to the CFA because every Christmas they rock up and come around and leave some gifts for him at Christmas time.
How good's that, eh?
That's bloody awesome. I love society. The best of society makes me more smart. I'm really, really happy that some good people are doing great things. So thanks, awesome humans out there, and particularly Dino. Well done, mate.
Well done, Dino. Yeah! Love your work, team. So if I let that go on long enough, I can work out what my next segment is. Right?
So you let it go so long, your battery is nearly gone flat.
Has
on
it really? We're going to lose my vision soon. That's probably a good thing for
unlike
the people.
Unlike you to be out of bars, JT, but you're down to none.
No, actually. We'll save that for another story. All right. So each week, we like talking to a celebrity. That was it. It's pretty short. Promo that one, isn't it? I probably should stretch it out so I've got more time to get bloody ready on the next one.
You'd have a little stinger, JT.
Now, the next celebrity that we got on this week is a guy that we've both had the privilege of working with over the years. I worked with Nathan Burke for a number of years back at the old call centre days when Nathan was heading up our operations after a wonderful AFL career. And, of course, you've done a few things with him over the years as well, Donnie.
I have indeed. And Burkey's one of these blokes that, honestly, when you meet him, you can't help but like him. There's a genuine groundedness to the bloke. And we know throughout our time we see some celebrities with their head up their butt and they're a bit removed from our inner circle. And there's others you just go, bloody like this bloke. There's something about him, he just gets it. And Burkey's one of those blokes.
Absolutely.
Good bloke.
Even when he was playing, he was one of, you know, there's just a few players that just sort of transcend clubs and everyone goes, oh, yeah, I like Burke, even if you didn't barrack for the Saints.
You know what I reckon it is? He has time for people. Yeah. He actually, like, we took my call this week when I rang him up and said, mate, I'd like you to be on our show.
To be fair, he thought it was a wrong number.
Yeah, I did block my number before I called him.
But for those of you that don't know who Nathan is, just to give you a brief intro, he played 323 games for the St Kilda Football Club. He won their best and fairest for 3 years. You know, all Australian four times. He's in the St Kilda team of the century, the St Kilda Hall of Fame, and he's just an absolute superstar of the game.
And he's now coaching the AFLW Bulldogs team.
He certainly is.
Yeah, so we'd certainly like for them to do well because of Bergie.
We would indeed, and he's also runs his own consulting and training business. So he helps now because he's worked in that high performance space for so long. He helps other businesses and organisations actually sort of step things up to another level.
Yeah, he's one of these blokes that really help cut through a bit of crap and help teams work well together. And it's all around that high performance, the way of thinking, and taken his sporting success and he's transcended that into his career. So I really rate him. I like him as a bloke. I like him. But importantly, I like his advice that he gave for our listeners when we said, mate, can you be on Celebrity Rewind?
G'day, JT and Don. Nathan Burke here, AFLW Western Bulldogs head coach. Great to speak to you. I have a quote. Football is what I do. It's not who I am. And understanding that quote was the only reason that got me through 17 seasons at the Saints. It made me understand that a good game of football did not make me a better person and a bad game of football did not make me a lesser person. So divorcing what I do from actually who I am and spending time and energy on myself as a person and what's important in my life is a vital component to not just being a sports person, but coping with your corporate life as well. So hopefully that gives you something to talk about. Looking forward to catching up with you and your listeners soon.
Bloody awesome. I'll tell you what it does give us, and the takeaway for me was spend some time on yourself as a person, regardless what direction you've taken yourself, whether it's sport or in business. And JT, you know for a fact that as a bloke who's created his own business, works from home, the balance for you is to take some time out for yourself. And Berkey's just nailed that. And that, you know, as I said, 17 seasons, that's bloody impressive at the highest level, isn't it?
Ah, it's amazing. And, you know, and he went out on top too. He was still in terrific form when he went out. So awesome, mate. Thanks, Berkey, for your tip. And we'll definitely get Berkey on the show one day and we'll have a bit more of a chat.
Too right, we will. So far we've had Kelly Cartwright, Tamsa Manu, and Nathan Burke as our Celebrity Rewind. And if you'd like, you have a celebrity in mind that you'd like us to get in touch with, we've got a couple of rippers coming up, but we'll certainly reach out to the ones that you can think. So hit us up. Let us know who you'd like to have featured on Celebrity Rewind.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Oh! Bloody customer service JT. Disasters. Donnie, now the first episode I just sort of stuck the boots in at Telstra.
Rightly so.
Had a crack at flybys last week.
You did?
And well, this week?
Who you got?
I got nothing.
Huh? You got crickets? Nothing. No, turn it up. What, are you telling me that every single person that you've ever had anything to do with, no one's ever given you any grief. No one's come back at you and given you reason to. This is your bloody segment, JT. It's pretty shit if you got nothing.
And I'm a happy guy, Don. There's nothing. Nothing gets to me.
Stop looking at your watch. No, someone. Surely you've been, buddy.
Look, my beef this week, Don, is I'm not going to aim it at a company in particular, but one of the things I'm getting really sick and tired of, and I think we all are, is, you know, now you've got to sign up for bloody everything, right? It's just, I want your email for everything. I sign up, open an account on, you know, Facebook or eBay. Well, it doesn't matter. I'll just buy something. You want my bloody email address. And, of course, once you've got my email address, what are you going to do with it? You're going to start bloody spamming me, right? And I'm just sick of it. Like, it's just not the way to market to people. And what really gets me goaded, there was in the call center industry anyway, I went to a conference last year, and, you know, part of the registration, of course, is you've got to give your email address. Now, and deep in the terms and conditions there gave them the right to sell my email address to some of their sponsors. So now I've been getting emails from other vendors in the call center space.
Third party crap.
Yeah. Now, I've got a little hack. I am sort of in the IT space where I know the origin of which emails I've given out. So I know exactly who gave my email address out. And I approached that company yesterday. And I said, hey, just wondering if you've had a privacy breach because I gave you my email address and suddenly I'm being marketed to by company X. And they promptly came back with their legal department and quoted the terms and conditions and the spot there that says that they had the consent of signing up was that they could sell that list. And to be fair, that was in the terms and conditions. So it's not that they've done anything illegal. But you just got to wonder from the company that actually bought my name, you know, and they're now marketing to me. I have no relationship with them, no awareness, and they're just suddenly starting to spam me. Now, I can tell you that is not the way to start a relationship with me and expect that I'm going to be a customer of yours anytime soon. In fact, I actually detest them now. So it's just something that gets my goat, and I think a lot of us have experienced just that, you know, in different forms.
So, mate, to get around it, what do you do? Do you give a you've got multiple email addresses, but do you give a bogus one? Like, what should people do? How do we get around this?
I think a lot of people have got their their real one, for want of better wording, and one that they're starting to use when they sign up for stuff. It's almost their spam email address. Right. So they've set up two email addresses, if you like. So that's certainly one way that people have been navigating it. But of course, there's actually a couple of other services out there, Don, that and we can put some links on our Facebook page if people are interested, that will just give you, it's called an instant email address. So it basically gives you a unique email address. You can use it to sign up and stuff, but then that's it. It's kind of gone after that.
So what happens to your emails after that?
Well, normally when you sign up, a lot of times you don't need any email
correspondence. Oh, you just authenticate it and away you go.
Correct. So once you're in your account, you're done, so to speak. So
this is why you're one of the bloody top 25 influencers in the world, JT, when it comes to customer experience. You know your shit. I like it.
Look, I think it's just, you know, these days we're all about relationships, and I think the organisations that get it are trying to build relationships and that personalisation. You know, I want you to know who I am and what I like, don't like, etc. So just adding my name to lists and spamming me with all your products and services is not going to endear me to your company.
So what you're saying is is businesses should be more personal and not be like Tinder where it's all about numbers.
I've no idea about Tinder, mate. I can't speak on that world.
Well, you're a bloody lot closer than I am, mate. I've been married for 23 years, but I have heard a few blokes. I had one of my mates come over and he's playing this Tinder game. I said, what are you doing? He's just going, I'm just increasing my odds. And he just swiped, I don't know, left or right, whichever way it was. And I just laughed at it because I thought, holy shit, I've never done that before. So it's a bit like spamming. You just spam, just put yourself out there.
Well, I haven't thought of it that way, Donnie. Well, maybe in another segment we'll talk about dating in your 40s in another segment. It's certainly a different world out there, I got to tell you. Now, that gets us into what we like is one of our favourite segments. And I'm saying the word favourite because it's...
They're all favourites.
We haven't really used it much. Yeah, audience Q&A.
Was that new or did you?
I think I used it before, but
sorry.
It's not really
me. I haven't listened back to the podcast.
you and no one else.
We have. People have because they've written to us. And thank you again for those of you.
Oh, we do appreciate
tuned
it.
In now, and still there.
Spiro wrote into us. Thank you, Spiro. And I think he's taken a bit of the piss, but it was around snooker. And he was just saying, do you think there's going to be a ban on snooker anytime soon? Because the rules in snooker is that the white ball is used to basically destroy the coloured balls. Now, we're obviously in very sensitive times at the moment. So I think Spiro is a very fair
question. Spiro's picked up on what we're putting down. Well played, mate. Yep, you're right. We're all getting too bloody precious. And if they go and, oh, shit, can you imagine? What do you go? Can't be called snooker. What are people going to call that game?
Look, who knows what? I think. I don't know. I don't know what the hell we're going to call it, but clearly there's going to be an issue around if we're going to ban bloody games now. And are we ping pong? I mean, I've been to Thailand. I'm just saying, like, should we ban ping pong?
That was a whole new game they were playing over there, and it wasn't scoring with a bat. That's what that wasn't. Righto. So now, mate, any other Q&As? Was that it? Because I love to leave this question because – well, not leave with this question. I want to dig into this because we did actually touch on it last week. And it was your adoption, mate. It was the thing that lit up the phones after the show. We weren't in the phone studio, so we don't know. But they say that shit in radio. Anyway, what they did do, though, is people did say to me, well, he had no idea JT was adopted. So that was one thing. And then they also said to me, bloody intriguing story, because most people honestly don't know a lot about people that are adopted, what they go through. So you made it clear last week that it was common knowledge for you growing up. So there was never a... you know, that one conversation was general discussion, and it was no surprise to you. You were very different in the family photos with your mum and your dad, and you don't have any in your family unit. You have mum and dad, no brothers or sisters. You didn't grow up with any brothers or sisters.
I had a stepbrother and a stepsister, which is my mum remarried when I was very young. So I think around 12 months old or something. So the guy that she married, Rick, who's known as Dad for me forever since I can remember. He had two children, Sean and Joanne. So stepbrother and stepsister, not blood related. But so I did spend some time growing up with them. I'm not sure what the arrangement, so I can't really remember. And I'm sure I know Faye and John, who my step-parents, listen to the program, so maybe they can fill me in. But I used to spend, I don't know, every second weekend or something at their place. So I grew up with stepbrother and stepsister as well.
And what about in terms of, like, you obviously got, I mean, all shit aside, you're a very tall player. You've got a different gene pool than the average punter. You know, you look like an elite athlete, even still today after, you know, all these years.
Yep.
What about the growing up side of things? Did you look around and were you a standout as a kid? Did you go through life looking at people going, shit, are you my brother? Are you my sister? Like, what about those questions?
That's a good question. Look, I was always tall. So, you know, look at my school photos. I was always in the back row and in the middle or thereabouts. So I was tall from day one and you know, I'm still hopefully tall. I think I'm getting a bit shorter as I get older. So I think I'm actually shrinking. I think I used to be 6'4". Still down to 6'3", I think, now. And we'll probably be down about 6 foot at some point.
Still the way I'm going. Male model, ladies. Trust me.
Settle down. So, I was always tall. And I remember getting into weights when I was young, like literally about 13, 14. And you sort of say, you know, do you look around and go, oh, geez, I could be related. In all honesty, and it's probably a little bit embarrassing, but I grew up and you have no idea who your parents are, obviously. You know, being adopted, and you always sort of go, well, geez, I'm tall and I'm in a sport and I like business stuff and I'm a bit nerdy and all these sorts of things. So you start sort of thinking, well, clearly my dad's a sports star of some description. Mum was obviously some incredibly intelligent, powerful businesswoman. And So you start sort of getting these pictures in your mind now.
Because the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. That's your thinking, right?
Well, that's my thinking. And right on. The reason I got into weights was I loved Sylvester Stallone growing up.
Right.
Like Arnie and Sylvester Stallone, that was the era that I grew up in, right?
Yep.
So I used to have posters of Stallone, you know, in my room and Arnie and stuff. And I used to look at the pictures or the posters of Rambo.
Yeah.
And I'd see his arms, right? And that's what got me into gym. I was like, oh, I want muscles like that. That's right. Bloody
well,
awesome.
You bloody got them.
And I was petrified of being that tall, skinny kid because you don't know that you're going to fill out. You don't know what you're going to be. And yep. I was just tall and skinny. I genuinely was.
And you've got no brothers and sisters like knocking around with that's to right. have a look
so
and go on.
Correct. So there's nothing to benchmark against. And I got the absolute shit caned out of me when I moved to Keysborough when I was about 13, 14. I was walking through a park.
Right.
And these two kids just came over and literally beat the shit out of me. And look, it didn't hurt me whatsoever. So I'm not saying it was anything, but it was just a turning point in my life where you sort of go, I really wanted to belt them back. And I didn't want to sort of protect myself and made sure I didn't get hurt. And they ended up pissing off. But that was a turning point. So I get in the gym and I'm, you know, doing my weights work. And that's never going to happen again.
Been looking for
them
ever since, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'd love to find those.
I'm with you, mate. Let me know.
And anyway, you know, so I'd had the posters of Stallone up on the wall. And, I, you know, as my muscles were filling out a little bit, you know, you start seeing the veins starting to pop and all this sort of stuff. And I remember looking at Stallone's posters and going, he'd have a vein down the middle of his bicep, showing it right now. Donnie, you can see his vein right here.
Yeah, that's
right?
A grip.
And honestly, I used to look at that and go, tell you what, there could be a chance here.
Stallone could be my dad.
Sly could be my old man here because we've got that vein in the same spot. Now, what are the odds of that, Donnie? I mean, you know.
That's a good point.
Honestly, I had no idea. And obviously, it was probably a bit far-fetched, but I was 13 and you want to believe these things.
Well,
you know, Dad's a movie star and why couldn't he be Stallone, you know?
That's a pretty good point.
And the fact that, you know, I look back now and the fact that Stallone's 5 foot nothing and there's probably a whole bunch of reasons why he couldn't have been.
Then again, who was your other hero, Stallone and?
Yeah, Schwarzenegger. So,
Schwarzenegger and he tended to have a did he have
six
a
foot three has just uncovered some siblings did he have of recent a little bit times. Of, look, as the story unfolded, you know, I did end up meeting my mum and I did meet
you?
My dad and we can,
your biological mum.
Met my biological mum and my biological
hear about this.
Dad. So
tell me, first thing, when you met them, was it like looking in the mirror? Was it did they match up to exactly what you had in mind?
Well, look, I'll tell you the story about meeting my mum
right.
for this episode. And we'll save the other one for another time.
Righto.
So I met my mum when I was early 20s. And, growing up, I was never really that fussed about finding my mum. You always think about it, of course. But sort of early 20s, it became just more important to me for whatever reason at the time. I really want to do this.
Because in your life, you've already got a mum who's looking after you and
exactly
doing all the right things.
You know, exactly. Okay. And mum's, you know, always mum, you know. Nothing's ever going to change that. And but, you know, you sort of go, geez, I wonder where I came from. And I've got a whole bunch of questions and you know, all that sort of stuff. So back then, and I think it's changed now, you had to apply to find basically to get your original birth certificate.
Right.
And so I applied. And back then we had to have some compulsory counselling. And it was group counselling. So I was matched up with, I think from memory, it was probably 10 of us in the group. And there was 9 other people that were also going through a very similar journey. They were looking for their parents as well. And so we had about 3 or 4, you know, group sessions and you'll sort of talk a little bit about your journey and all that sort of stuff. And I was probably one of the younger ones in the room. I remember guys in the room at the time were in their 40s and 50s and even 60s, you know. And so I was at the time, that was really old. Now it doesn't seem that old anymore.
Well, then it sort of reminds you that the question is always there, isn't it? Well, regardless how old you are.
That's right. And I remember talking to one of the guys who was really old in his 40s and and he just said he just – honestly, didn't give a crap his whole life. Just never bothered him. Never wanted to know. Yep. Just couldn't care less. And he just woke up one day in his mid-40s and it just suddenly became the most important thing to him on the planet. He goes, I couldn't sleep at night. He goes, I just suddenly had to find out. And he goes, I don't know what triggered the switch, but I just had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so we go through our counselling sessions and then the big day arrives. And look, we weren't really prepped that well for it. And now to look back at it, I suppose. And so we're all standing in this room and in fact someone basically and a couple of people had their partners, like the guy in the 40s had his wife there at the time and other people had people. I went on my own a lot. Sometimes some of those big things and those that know me well, I tend to sort of, I don't know, self-isolate. I just want to do it myself sometimes.
You are a bit introverted in some ways.
So I went by myself and thought, I've got this, I'll do it. And so you get this envelope. And for me, I open the envelope and you pull it out and it was my original birth certificate.
Right.
Now, what's on your original birth certificate is a couple of things. One, it's the exact time that you're born.
Yeah.
No, I never knew that. I was born on the 24th of August. I knew that much.
Yep.
But you know what? You don't even know if that's true. You're sort of going, well, I think I was born on the 24th of August, right?
Did my adopted mum make that up to suit her story?
Well, it's not necessarily it was made up, but it was just maybe that's what she was told, you know, because they want to throw people off the scent or whatever the reason might have been. Who knows, right?
Yeah, right.
So I opened up and thought, okay, first of all, hey, I was born on the 24th of August.
Giddy up.
You know, giddy up. Yeah, happy days. And the time was on there. And I can't remember it now what it was, to be honest. Yeah. But at the exact time, I thought, that's pretty cool. I know what time I came into this world. That's also good. But the big ones on was my name, because I wasn't born Justin.
Bullshit.
So on my birth certificate was my original name. So my birth mother, when I popped out, named me.
Wow.
And so I was actually born Matthew.
No.
So, yeah, so my name was literally on my birth certificate was Matthew. And, and as a long story short, but you know, my mum passed away, unfortunately, a while ago. We'll unpack that in other episodes. But she never got to meet my son, Lucas. But my son's middle name is Matthew, and that was in honour of...
Holy shit.
Yeah, mum still upsets me talking about it. So,
that is unbelievable. And tell me, for you now, when you hear that name and you think about the life that you've grown up with.
Yeah.
And if you're walking down the street and you heard Matthew...
I honestly don't look around, so...
You wouldn't?
No, I
like
don't.
Like, you haven't connected with it?
No, yet? No.
Okay.
I haven't. But look, it meant something to me because I guess, you know, it meant something to my mum, and obviously. And you know, I never got the chance to ask her why Matthew either, I guess I'll never know the answer unless some of my relatives who I also know listening to the show might know a bit more insight.
And so what about mum as you know her now, like who's raised you?
Yep.
Has she told you the... Who changed it to Justin?
So she changed it. So I don't think, you know, I should ask the question. I don't think I had a name as far as she was concerned. Oh. So when I was handed over, they literally took me away the moment I was born.
His baby X.
Correct, yeah.
So mum, your birth mum, actually has to go through the process and get that and create that certificate. And she says, no, I would have called him, I call him Matthew.
Yep.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, so on your birth, so on that day, you find out your name, you're like, Jesus. But importantly, it also had my mum's maiden name.
Right.
And so, you know, that was also the first time mum was Meads, so M-E-A-D-E-S.
Right.
So I was Matthew Meads, little Matty Meads,
right.
When I was born. And so from that moment, it's once you know your mother's maiden name, it was actually quite easy to track her down, I guess.
Oh, so she's not there at this point.
No.
The only thing that's happening is you get the envelope
with
a whole lot of information.
100%.
Right. So you open it. Did you think you had the wrong envelope? Did you think?
No. Well, I mean, 24th of August, so I kind of knew that was right. I mean, you get a bit of other stuff with it,
right.
So no, there was never any reservations for me that it wasn't right.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really struck me, Donnie, in that day, and it still upsets me thinking about it, was what happened to some of the other people. Because for me, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. My name was Matty, 24th of August, happy. You know, honestly, it wasn't distressing and it wasn't upsetting for me. I was kind of excited by it. But some of the other people in the group opened up. Their envelopes, and instead of, you know, getting their birth certificate and all the details and stuff, which they got as well, it also had the death certificate of their parents.
Right, so this person they've been, of course.
So, you know, my whole life, you know, that guy in his 40s, you know, his story, and I don't even remember his surname and I don't mean any disrespect to him, but he just started bawling. Like uncontrollably bawling. Yeah. I'm thinking... Bloody hell, what was in his envelope, right?
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, I said mine wasn't distressing. And I went over and saw him later, of course, as you know, the human element, you go, mate, are you all right?
Absolutely.
You know, and you've got to know these people a bit over the sessions. And his story was his parents had, he found out he had two older siblings, both same parents, mother and father. And what had happened in his story is that, you know, they got to child number three. This is in the 70s or actually he was older than me, so it would have been in the 50s.
Yeah.
And so they've had the third baby, too hard. Yep. Too hard basket. Marriage was already in trouble. We're not going to be able to manage this. Let's give this child up for adoption.
Right.
So they put him up for adoption, and obviously that all played out. So when he opened his envelope, he found out he's got, you know, his two older siblings, and you know, but you know, he wasn't good enough, so to speak, and they adopted him out. But he also found out he had two younger siblings. So the marriage reconciled, they got back together, everything was happy.
Oh,
and they had two more kids.
Kick in the guts.
So he had four biologically, you know, same parents, same everything. And it was just him that missed out in the middle.
Luck of the draw, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and he's like, why, you know, like, and look, I'm sure with time, you know,
we'll pick up this and continue because I know, like, you know, we've said it multiple times throughout today's session, is we've known each other for a long time, and I know a fair whack of your story, but there's still parts of it that are just like today. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting here going, fuck, I had no idea. And I think for you too, that the opportunity to be able to share that, and who knows, maybe that it may well help somebody else who has adopted a kid, who has been adopted, or, you know, these sort of things, being able to have the conversation in the open air around what are some of the pitfalls and the things you learn from it.
Mate, there is a lot out there. There's a lot of people that have been adopted or know people that have been adopted, and I think it's a little bit in some respects like the disability side of things. People don't know how to go about it and go, well, what can I ask and what shouldn't I ask?
Or we'll just
sweep it under the carpet. Because they were dying to know. Absolutely. You know, but not ask. So absolutely. I think just by talking about these things, you realise that, you know, look, every family has its secrets, and you know, mine's a cracker, and we'll talk about that as we go on as
well. Too right, but, we will. There's plenty more to come out of you, JT, and I'm loving it, mate. And I know our listeners are as well. So, mate, that's going to wrap us up for today.
Well, not quite, Donny.
Is it? Hang on a minute.
Not quite.
What do you got?
Well, for those of you that don't know, Don obviously suffered a lot of physical injuries when he was younger. Unfortunately, there was also some mental issues as well, and we try and work through those, and you know, we've been mates for a long time, we try and help each other out, but there's some things that sometimes you just go, you know what, I don't think there's anything I can do about this. And in Don's case, well, he's a Hawthorn supporter.
Now, I was trying to wrap this up. I'm a bit worried about going there, JT.
Now, everyone knows me that I'm a Kangaroo supporter, and of course this week, Don, it's the mighty Kangas up against the mighty Hawks.
It's on. Mate, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. One is, if you don't hear this via our website or iTunes, you can get this podcast on Spotify.
You can now. We're on.
Yep, we're on Spotify. And the other thing we're going to do is, we've got cameras bloody left, right and centre in here, right? So JT's taking us into his bedroom. He's got cameras bloody everywhere, right? What he also is going to – what he's alluding to is that we have a little friendly bet every time the bloody Kangas get beaten by the Hawks. And sometimes that happens and sometimes it doesn't. So we've got a standard bet, which is a bottle, because we both enjoy a sip. But this week, given that we're head-to-head on Sunday, I believe, mate.
It is.
We're going to make sure there's a little side bet. And one of the side bets that I think would be bloody entertaining, my daughter's fiancé has got a little chili tree in the backyard, Billy's Chili, and they're bloody hot, JT.
I don't like where this is heading, Don. I really don't.
I know that we were thinking about a side bet. My thoughts are this, is I'm going to bring a bag, a little zip bag, right, with some chilies in it. However many goals,
hang on a minute.
The other team loses by, that's how many bites out of the chili the loser has to have. Okay, so if North go down by 10 goals, throughout next week's show, you have to have 10 bites of the chili. And we'll have enough chilies to get us through. And, of course, if the bloody miracle happens and the Hawks don't do the right thing, I'll eat the chilies, mate, by however many goals.
Game on, Donnie. We're on. I'll take you on, mate. Hawks have got no chance, mate. So, I'm a bit worried. Famous last words. I might be investing some milk shares. I think, is it milk that comes here?
Yeah, milk. We'll get a bit of milk.
If any listeners have got some tips on how to deal with chili, please
let us know. We're going
to
need it.
Send them in. We will absolutely need to know what they are. Awesome. It's been a fantastic episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed listening today. If there's anything you'd like to hear on next week's show, please give us a yell. But until then, as Donnie would always say,
giddy up.